Beloved, see this wonder in the making. Let me just say those words. How God Himself takes this little, His little lambs up into His arms for safe keeping. That's what He did in the gospel lesson, isn't it? They didn't want Him to be distracted by the kids. And isn't it wonderful to see the distractions that have their children's messages, children's sermons? That's sometimes the best part of the sermon, isn't it? Anyway, takes them up in His arms for safe keeping. I love how the hymn writer stated it in the final stanza. Here we bring a child of nature, home we take a newborn creature. Now God's precious son or daughter, born again by word and water. The dear sheep of the shepherd of the valley, a new sheep, a precious little lamb, was born this morning. And I consider holy baptism its power, its majesty, clothed in the elegant simplicity of a few words and a few drops of water. It thrills, and more than that, it amazes and blesses me, and I hope it does you as well. I'm thankful that Granddad Allen got to be the Lord's hands to baptize his grandson this morning. We're also thankful for this gift of Almighty God. We're humbled by His mercy and His grace. Yes, Amanda and Josh and your brother William, grandparents Brian and Connie and Alan and Devin, you brought your little one, the Lord will touch Daniel. Yes, to such a one is the whole kingdom of God. It belongs to Daniel, all of heaven. Hear that, beloved. Cherish that, you who are His beloved. The one who cannot now tie his own shoes, the one who cannot butter his own bread, the one who can do so many little other things not so well, who had to be carried and dressed and brought to church here by his parents this morning, the one so frail and small, so seemingly powerless, all of the kingdom of God now belongs. This little one, who cannot speak for himself, is nonetheless the full child of God, with all of heaven, pausing to look down upon the power and the love of our triune God, as He called Daniel not only to be by his name, but more importantly, by the name of God. The pastor said to the children that this is an adoption into the family. Beautiful of a picture that is. Daniel's first name is not only joined to the name of mom and dad that way, but to his name. He is now Daniel, child of God. Not just surname, but child of God. Indeed, all of heaven stopped and stooped down to watch the amazing miracle of death and life, of evening and morning, of grave and resurrection. As the Lord brought Daniel to death and resurrection in His holy name. Yes, Daniel was born again, born to never die again. I say that knowing that as I'm getting a little bit older, a little bit grayer, a little bit bolder, that there's going to be a day when somebody's going to be throwing a couple of shovels full of dirt on top of a box that my bones will be sitting in. But you know what? I died on May 5th, 1957. I was born on March 24th, 1957. But I died on May 5th, 1957. Never die again. Daniel will never die again. You, dear children of God, will never die again. That's the power of your baptism. Because God has called you by name, and His call and His action so strong, so powerful. Oh, what a gift it is. As a child of the Heavenly Father. When I think about what happened here this morning, think about this now. Wealth, prestige, learning, pedigree, these are all fine, and we can pursue them. But they do not make one any more worthy of Christ having sent it. Only the death and resurrection of Jesus, that is the love that gave its all to redeem the lost, the last and the least, and yes, even the weakest and the youngest. This baptism makes the sinner into the saint. It's also makes us to be residents of the kingdom of God. It's so big, so important. You know, we see baptism all the time, and we preach about the other texts that are in there. And I have to tell you that if you were to go and look up what the texts are for appointed for today, you'd go, they're great texts. Yeah, Pastor, you could preach a good sermon on them. But they would have had nothing to do with baptism. And so often, as a pastor, I just wanted to stop and just only preach on baptism. And so when Pastor Allen said, could you do this? And I looked at the text and I went,
thanks, sir,
I get to have fun this morning.
Thank
I get
you,
to
guards.
Have
fun. Just every diamond guards. They leave it. I'm worn out. I'll be up and down. And Warren's also sick, so there's a...
And we need to focus on that and not some other aspect of God. When you came here to this house, the house of the Lord this morning, is with two things I know, at least on your hearts. The first, of course, was the anticipatory joy, knowing that God, the God of our redemption, will work the miracle of a new birth, of eternal life, and good Daniel. But you also came here this morning with the weight of your sins hung around your neck and your heart. You know that only in this God of baptismal grace, only in Him are you renewed. Only in Him are you strengthened, and yes, reminded of how much you are loved. You came here today, I pray, like a man or a woman who'd been many days in the desert sun without water, with cracked lips and a tongue that cleaves to the roof of your mouth, wanting the cool refreshment, that very life that comes from the life-giving water of what your baptism means. Every time you confess your sins, this amazing God of grace is absolving you, living in your baptismal grace, that same grace that is now called Daniel by His name into God's holy name. You are refreshed. You are renewed. Daniel, you know what his name means? I know some of you do, but you've got to figure it out there. It means God alone is my judge. What here's the refreshment? Does that sound, you know, God's my judge? No, that's not the meaning of it. It is God's judge, Daniel. Righteous. When he looks upon Daniel, the Lord sees the blood and righteousness of Christ as his robe. When God the Father looks down upon you, dear child of God, covered in sins you are, when the Father looks at you, he sees that robe of righteousness. He says, there's my son, there's my daughter. Isn't she beautiful? Isn't he grand? And yes, a grandson can be beautiful. And I just want to say, Pastor, that's an objective fact. I love that. Yeah, this is Daniel's birthright, and it's his full inheritance. It's an inheritance delivered fully as the Lord of life gave himself into your death, also that he would be delivered unto it, not only today, but you would be delivered into the life of Christ. Surely Paul has encouraged the Colossian Christians with these words. Listen to Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Since then you were raised with Christ, I'll say in baptism, keep on seeking those things which are above. Did you notice what we have in baptismal liturgy? Now we're talking about rearing and raising this young child in the faith and being brought earnestly to the services of God's house. Keep on seeking those things which are above, where Christ is eternally seated in the seat of absolute authority at the right hand of God. Continually then set your mind on things above and not on the things of earth. Good words that are for us today as we hear the news. And going on all around us. But here's the kicker, though. For surely you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's your strength, that death and resurrection of holy baptism. Just consider the promise made to Noah and his family as the flood waters receded, and while the earth remains, there shall always be seed time of harvest. Now there's a surface level on that. It's a promise of time, isn't it? That we know that there will always be seed time and harvest as long as the earth exists. We're not going to be having such incredible famine that there won't be one. So that's on the surface level. That's great. Okay, good. Now dispose of it. But in the seed time, we're reminded that Jesus came and became the seed that was planted in the earth. It always gets back to Christ and what he has done for us. Behold what Christ did today for us. We are reminded in giving the gift of his death how that seed, that holy seed, was laid into the earth. Also that it could produce the great crop of you and me and every Christian of every time, place, and race and nation of our time. Jesus became the seed planted between the church of God. The promise of seed time and harvest is the promise of his being with us as the crucified and risen Savior, the lover of us all. Yes, the first promise of seed time is the promise of Christ being planted in the earth on Good Friday. It's also the promise that the times and the seasons are kept, but it is the sure promise of Daniel's redemption and of yours as well, because the second promise is the harvest, that through the planting of the ground in its darkness, when things look their bleakest and their darkest, we see Jesus' death on Friday, that darkness not only cannot put off the light, John 1:5, but the sunrise, the S-O-N rise, on Easter morning, is that this harvest is the harvest of all who are baptized in Christ's death and baptized into his resurrection. There is always hope for Christ. I'm going to say that again. There is always hope with Christ. Always. When you are in a place of despair and darkness, remember that you are baptized. Luther used to live with great despair in his life. He would say at that moment when he was at his lowest, "Ah, but I am baptized." What a gift. It's not a simple action. It's that, but it's so much more. So very much more. I love that. It's God reading himself. Because the darkness cannot draw the light. Oh, if there is. So there's always hope in Christ. For death has to yield to life. Fear has to yield to peace. And the solitary is now placed in the family. When my mom went home to the Lord about 6 years ago, and about 9 or 10 years ago, she was finishing the family heritage book. She called me up one day. She said, "Son, I need a scripture to put on the front page of our family history and family heritage book." And I gave her Psalm 68:6, the first half of the verse, that God places the solitary into the family. That's what God did today for Dan, and that's what he's done for you and me as well today. Yes, the seed time of harvest, this is the very stuff of our epistle as well. Since you have been baptized into Christ's death, don't you know? Don't you know that you were buried with Christ into his death? Don't you know that you were also raised by the power of his resurrection? Yes, you were laid in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And Daniel, you in particular today, take note of this. You were raised, you were placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. You went across time and space to get there. I love that. And it all happened on that day that God called good. It was a Friday. The sun set at noon. I love that about our God, too. It takes darkness and brings happy to light. with Jesus. He's pulling us right out of death and into eternal life. He has the sweet promise that this last enemy, death, has been destroyed, has been swallowed up in the victory of Christ's life. This is the fulfillment of Psalm 118, verse 20. And Pastor, do you know this? Because at every graveside service that we do as pastors in the liturgy is Psalm 118, verse 20, which says that death now has become the door through which the righteous may enter. Direct reference to our baptism. Therefore, we bring little ones to Jesus that he might touch, not merely with human hands, which he does, but with the gift of seed time and harvest, death and resurrection. So do not hinder them. They are such as these, the ones too small, too weak, too immature to care for themselves. Such as these, the ones the kingdom of God. Yes, see this wonder in the making. God himself, his child is taken, as a lamb safe in his kingdom, is to be awake or asleep. Even so, amen. Amen.